Welcome to the Stonegate Women Podcast. This episode is from our Behold Become 2026 conference. We're so glad that you've joined to listen. Enjoy.
So they'll come up with this like scientific study and they're like, you won't believe what we found out. We found out that if you're grateful, that it can do all these things. I'm like, yeah, because God calls us to be grateful. It's like, if you fast, it can do all this stuff for your body. It's like, yes, God tells us to fast. And so John Hopkins actually did this study, and it showed, they asked a bunch of college students if their families, if what they found, I'll just summarize it with what they found. They found that if a college student had 6 or 7 significant family experiences, that they were 72% less likely to have depression. They were 50% less likely to have problems with mental health overall. So as much as that is secondary, God has called us into doing traditions and rhythms, and they really are fantastic, and they can really, really matter. And so I have seen this play out in my own life in many ways. I used to be a nurse in a pediatric intensive care unit, and I still remember throwing a birthday party in an ICU room for an 11-month-old little boy. It was a little man's turn in one, and we all had these mustaches on. It was like the cutest thing. But the reason we threw that birthday was because he wasn't going to make it to one. And it was just this moment that was so important to these parents. They wanted a moment that would be marked to remember and to celebrate him. And I think that experience actually shaped me quite a bit. Birthdays are now incredibly important to me. It's a year to celebrate another day, another year for my children, that they have breath in their lungs, that they're getting to have another milestone of life. And what we have begun to do is just speak really true things over them on their birthdays. We get to speak and go around and affirm things that we see in their lives. And it's become just a really beautiful rhythm in our home around birthdays. I also remember when my son was about to start kindergarten, and I had a ton of emotions in that time, but one that just kind of kept stirring up with me was actually just fear. I had a lot of fear of releasing him, and fear of trusting that God was going to take care of him at school when I wasn't there to be like this defender to him. And so in that moment, I started a rhythm with him. And every day before school, I started speaking a blessing over him. And I said, Hudson, you are a man of integrity, character, and honesty. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You will put on the full armor of God so you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are above. You are not beneath. You are a leader. You are not a follower. You have the mind of Christ because the Spirit of God lives within you. You are not made to fit in with the crowd. You never have been, and you never will be. You are different and set apart. You will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises will be in your mouth, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so every day on the way to school, I wrote it out, and I would read it over and over until I had it memorized, and then he had it memorized, and we started saying it together. He's in 5th grade, and we still speak this over my son and my daughter every day on the way to school. And I remember last year, there was this really big incident that happened where my son made a good choice in a really bad situation. And I remember asking him, Hudson, what made you make that really good choice, buddy? And he looked at me, he's like, Mom, I'm a leader. I'm not a follower. I have the mind of Christ. And I was like, yes, you do. And then I just thought, oh my gosh, rhythms, they are just incredible. They really can shape us in profound ways. Rhythms and traditions are like a river that run through a landscape, where over time, this continuous stream carves deep, beautiful canyons. There are things that we do in our lives that shape us, make us look different, and take us into deeper places of truth and knowing God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the image of this world. That's actually a command. Do not be conformed. And the truth is that formation is happening all the time. If we are doing nothing, we are being formed to the world because it is constantly pushing us, pressing us, imprinting on us, and drifting us further and further away from God. But I believe God has given us traditions and rhythms as a weapon against being conformed to this world. So as I was praying for this talk, the Lord kept bringing to my mind one particular parable in Matthew. Jesus tells a story about 10 young women waiting for the bridegroom. And he's coming for this big wedding celebration. So they all had these lamps, and five of them had some extra oil. The bridegroom got delayed, and so everybody got tired and they fell asleep. And then at midnight, the announcement came that the bridegroom was there and he was ready to start the feast. And the five women that had oil trimmed their lamps, filled the oil, and they went into the feast. And the others had to go buy oil. And by the time they came back, the doors were shut and they missed the party. And I just thought, oh, Lord, how do we expectantly wait for you with lamps that are full? How do we stay awake and alert and tethered to you in the long wait for your return? And while there are probably a million Christian practices that help keep our lamps full, I was surprised at how effective and wonderful rhythms and traditions answer this deep need of the Christian walk. Tradition anchors us. When we get distracted with this world and start to drift, then all of a sudden there's a tradition or a rhythm that brings us back. It's like a smelling salt that we put in front of us and it wakes us up and it's like, yes, this is King Jesus. This is him. This is what this is all about. It draws us right back. So how do I know that traditions and rhythms matter? How do I know that it keeps us from being conformed to the world and keeps our lamps full and ready? I know because it's the very way God used to shape his people all throughout scripture. See, God gave his people, the Jewish people, traditions and festivals that they would repeat year after year. Every one of those were like giant stop signs for them. And they would, it would say, stop. Remember who I am. Remember who you are. Remember what I've done and tell others. That is traditions right there. The Old Testament is full of them, and it is some of the most beautiful, transforming corporate things that God has gifted his people with. So I want to talk about festivals, but I'm not going to talk about all of them. There's a lot. But I do want to give you one example, because did you know that you could implement traditions in your life that not only keep you tethered and your oil filled, but also will help you see Jesus when he shows up? Like, how amazing is that? It'll help you identify him because you will recognize how he works and what he does. So for example, we are going to talk about Passover just real quickly. The Passover was a tradition God gave his people so they would stop and remember. Remember who he was, that he was their rescuer. Remember what he had done, that he had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And remember who they were, the chosen people of God. Every year, families gather to retell the story of the night God rescued them, when the death angel passed over their homes and they were marked by the blood of the Lamb. Now, those details were repeated generation after generation. They would tell their children. They would talk about it at the table. They were told how every family would get a lamb and bring it into their house, and they would inspect it every day for 4 days, making sure it was blameless and perfect before they would slaughter it, and how they put it over the doorpost. A really simple detail that was repeated year after year to these people to remember. And that detail became incredibly powerful because centuries later, when Jesus arrived on the scene, John the Baptist saw him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Did anybody notice the spotless lamb had come for rescue? Then during the very week of Jesus's death, Jesus entered the temple, his father's house. And for 4 days, he was questioned and examined by the priests and the religious leaders. Scripture says they could find no fault in him. For 4 days, the lamb was inspected in the house and found blameless before sacrifice. I wonder how many people began to recognize what God was doing. Maybe not in that moment, because most didn't understand until after the cross, but later looking back, realizing the rhythms and stories they had practiced all their lives had prepared them to see him. The rhythms God gave his people did more than help them remember the past. It gave them eyes to recognize him when he moved. And isn't it incredible to think that we could have traditions and rhythms that we build in our own homes that can do the same thing, shape our hearts and those around us and help ourselves see him rightly. So traditions, they don't have to be elaborate and Pinterest worthy. Many of us are already doing things every year. Holidays, meals, celebrations, small family moments. They may just need reframing, intention, and just a little bit more thought. Because the truth is that the Lord wants to anchor deeply in my family, maybe something different than what he wants to anchor in your family. The rhythms of my home may look a little different than the rhythms he's calling you into. But if we don't slow down long enough to think and listen, we can miss some really beautiful ways that God delights in shaping our hearts. So that's kind of the why of traditions, what the journey the Lord's taken me on to see such incredible value in them. And so the whole next half of our time is going to be spent listening and dreaming with him. So you have a worksheet that you were given. You'll notice it's divided into four seasons. And then along the bottom, it says daily and weekly rhythms. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking through each season and then just some everyday rhythms. But before we start writing, I'd want you just to like take a breath for a moment. Like this is not a pressure thing. This is actually one of the most joy-filled parts of my life is traditions and rhythms. And so I just want you to take a big exhale in this moment. It's not about creating perfect traditions or adding more to your schedule. It's just an invitation to notice where God may already be working in your life, where he might be gently inviting you into remembering him more intentionally. So here's what I'm going to say. If you're somebody whose brain is just like, oh my gosh, I have so many ideas already of things I want to implement in my life, you just grab your pen and you start writing and talk to the Lord about it. That's amazing. If you are more like me that took time to like sit with him and think about it, you may be like, I have no idea where to start. I'm going to share one really simple, kind of dumb tradition that our family has. So one of our traditions happens every fall and we call it, okay, remember I have a 21 and then like two school age kids. So like, you're going to think this is really lame. They still love it. Okay. They're older. They still love it because traditions is like, we're doing that again this year, right, Mom? Like, yes. It's called the Pumpkin Patch Parable. It's a book we started reading when they were really little, and now it's become part of our fall kickoff. So every fall, we get pumpkins, and we carve them together, and we tell this really simple story. The parable describes a farmer who chooses a pumpkin, and then he begins to clean it. He cleans the outside, he gets it all washed, but there's still a lot of like really messy, gross stuff on the inside. And so then he has to cut it open and get all the stuff out. See, he's the one that has to clean it. And then he carves this joyful face on the pumpkin and he puts a light inside of it so that it'll shine bright on the darkest night. And it's really just this picture of God, right? Like that's just a picture of the Lord. God is the gardener. We're his pumpkin. He cleans us. He gets all the messy stuff out of us. He puts his light in us and we get to shine for him in this really dark world. But this tradition became really meaningful for us because I love traditions, but don't always plan great. And so I was like last minute trying to find pumpkins after all the pumpkins had been bought up. And so I had gone to four different stores and all that were left were those like bumpy, gross pumpkins, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So I'm like dragging my kids around and we get to the fourth store and it's still just those like really gross pumpkins. And I'm like, well, this is what we're doing. And so I grab this pumpkin and my son even actually like looks at me, he's like, ew, Mom, no, that one? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's when it hit me, like, yes, this one. Like, there is no pumpkin that is too far. I go like way over the top with my kids, and I'm like, there's no pumpkin too far away. You know, like there's nobody that's too dark or broken or ugly that the Lord can't redeem, you know? And so, but what's fun is now every year we go looking for the ugliest pumpkin we can find. And we have like just the best time finding hideous pumpkins. You know, my kids always try to find a better one, an uglier one than the year before. And it just reminds our heart of just this simple truth. Nobody is too far from him. Nobody is too disgusting or broken for him to clean up and put the light in, right? So that's just one small little weird tradition that our family does. But it brings joy and it brings laughter, and it helps us remember that God is a rescuing God. And it reminds us every single year. So now I want to think about your own seasons. Think about fall, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, summer celebrations like the 4th of July where we talk about freedom. That's such a great time to talk about the freedom God gives us, right? Maybe traditions already exist in your home. Maybe they just carry more meaning than you realized. And then I do at the bottom, there's just some things talking about daily or weekly rhythms. They don't have to happen every day. Maybe it's a weekly family devotion or speaking blessing over your kids before school like I do. Maybe it's Sabbath rest or reading a psalm once a week with your family. Small rhythms repeated over time can really shape hearts. So as you sit here, simply ask, Holy Spirit, what rhythms do you want to begin shaping in my family? What would help us to stop, remember you, remember who we are and what you've done? So I'm actually going to turn on some music. This is like a fun little, like, you get to really, how many times you get to just stop and think about like what you want in your life, how you want to be impacted in your life, what you want to experience and how you want to experience God. So we're going to spend a little bit of time, and then I'm going to come back when there's about 10 minutes left, and we're going to just get to talk about some different ideas with some people around you. We're just kind of split up. What I have found is some of my favorite traditions have actually been because other people have said, hey, we do this and it's really fun. There is no copyright on meaningful tradition. So if y'all want to have pumpkin patch parable, you can take it. But I'm going to pray before we start, and I'm going to turn on some music so you can just kind of dream with God. So Father God, Holy Spirit, would you just come and give us imagination to the ways you want to shape us through traditions and rhythms, the ways you want us to know more about you, the things you want to ingrain deep into us and shape us, conform us to you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So I'm going to turn on some music and then I'll come back in just a little bit. Everybody, y'all getting kind of wrapped up? It's about... Love it. That's so fun. Unleash the ladies to talk. It's awesome. It's awesome. Like, we've had to listen to already one breakout. Now we get to talk in one. It's so good.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. No, I think that's beautiful. There's so many cool traditions that you get to learn just hearing and listening to other people and what they do in their homes and going, man, that would be, my kids would love that, or I would love to do that. So I just think that's awesome. So my hope today is that you're reminded that you're not just creating traditions, you're creating markers. And they help your families, they help you, they help your community to look back and remember God's faithfulness for years to come. Because one day, the rhythms you build now may help you recognize God when he moves in your life. And so, with that, we're kind of finishing up. I'm going to pray for us and then give you about like 10 minutes because it's, I know, a little tight with the getting from place to place. So I'm going to give you like 10 minutes to go to the bathroom before everybody else gets there. But if you want to stay and hang out and like ask questions or like talk about like, this was an awesome one I heard of, and you know, I'd love to do that with you guys. So I'm just going to pray real quick and we'll let anybody that wants to go, go. So God, we just thank you. Thank you so much that you are a God that is so kind. You're so kind to take our forgetful minds and give us tools to help us remember you, to remember the things you do and have done. God, I pray that you would begin to take these beautiful ideas that you've planted in our minds and our hearts and give us tangible ways to walk them out. God, would you just give us just capacity to begin to implement certain things in our lives that you're calling us to. Let us give a big yes to you and then stumble forward in it. We just thank you so much for showing up today in so many ways. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So y'all are good to go if you want. You need to use the bathroom. I think there might have been something I was supposed to say. You have a break. Next breakout starts at 2:15. So 2:15 is the next breakout. And everybody knows how to scan and figure out where you're going for the next one. Okay. Yes. Did y'all sign up for this breakout? Okay, so that is something that I got from Priscilla Schreier, who I think is incredible. And I will have, so somebody asked what that blessing was that I spoke over my kids. So I will have an email. I'll put it in an email, whoever signed up. And if you didn't actually sign up and you just ended up in here and you wanted that, just let me know and I'll add that onto the email list. But I'll have them send it out. But it's something that Priscilla Schreier had spoken over her kids. And I like cling to it. And it's just been such a cool thing. So yeah. Yeah. I will send it out. I'll make sure. So yeah. Yeah. What's up?
When you like are trying to come up with ideas, like I've been reading some Leviticus when they're establishing different festivals. It's like, okay, these are all like based around harvests, which is cool, but also doesn't like relate to us a lot in most situations.
Yeah.
So obviously it was relating to what they're seeing all the time. They're already, where are we in traditions? Do you have certain places you go to get ideas or like what?
Like, how does my brain work when I think about traditions? I think you're saying, what is in your mind? So for me, I actually, it's more about, like, what is the truth I'm trying to teach my kids, right? Like, and so there are times that, like, traditions have a season, and they won't always stay with them, but it's more about, like, what is the truth I feel like I want my kids to implement in the season, or what's something I keep forgetting that obviously needs some formation in my life, right? Yeah. And so it's less about like, oh, I was reading in John and I saw this. I mean, indirectly, yeah. But it tends to start with a biblical truth and then launch from there. So, yeah. Good question. You're good. Anything else? Any other weird questions that are fun? Did anybody come up with like a really weird, fun tradition? Anybody have anything they want to share of like a, or something that you already do? I know you shared it with someone else, but anybody have like a favorite tradition?
Can I request to share one?
I mean, yeah. I have a lot of weird traditions.
I don't know. Specifically, I want you to share.
Oh, which one?
Barbarian night.
Oh, okay, so my family does this thing called barbarian.
About this weekly.
Yeah. So we do this thing called barbarian night. It was a tradition I stole from someone else. So this is not my idea. That's why I said talk to people, because people have great ideas. But it's around the start of school. So at the start of school, we have a giant food fight. I'm telling you, it's fun to believe in Jesus. It's so fun. You can have fun. It's not boring and stuffy. So we eat with our hands. Like, we're barbarians. We're wild, you know? So, like, we'll eat. we'll do spaghetti and we'll like eat with our hands, and then like cake and eat with our hands, and then at the end we do like a big food fight. Now what I will say has changed, this is just my own like confession and like, you know, conviction. We started working with the homeless and I felt bad about wasting food, so we've changed that and now we do shaving cream. So we have a big shaving cream fight, but there is actual purpose in it, because it's like you're getting out all your wild. Because you are going into school and you are going to be a light for Jesus everywhere you go. Like, so there is like this deeper truth that is like rooted in it of like, we're wild and we're having fun. And yet like there is actually like a, the way you live, people see you. The way you walk through the halls, people look at you. You have the light of Christ in you. And so, you know, what are you carrying into those places that you go to? Yeah, so Barbarian Night, it's a fun one. It's a messy one, and it's a little crazy. I will just say, if you're going to do it, you got to commit to it. Because after 2 years, I was like, we are never doing this again. And it, the kids, it's their favorite thing. So it's like, we keep doing it.
A lot of things hurt in your eyes.
Yeah, we do have we wear goggles when we do it. And trash bags. But it's fine. It's right. It's a fun one.
Is it an outside activity?
It is for sure outside. And there's a hose. There's a hose. He hose everybody down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody gets hosed off. And now that it's shaving cream, it's like, you're clean. Clean enough for school now.
Can you smell? Smell great.
Smell great. So, yeah, that's a good one.
Keep a tradition going. Or do you have recommendations to say, you know, it's definitely good?
Yeah, so the question for anybody that's wanting to listen is like, what do you keep it? What keeps the tradition going? And then like, when do you know when to let it go? I think that's really some good thoughts. Some things that keep a tradition going is your excitement about it. And so you speaking into it and being excited about it makes it better. In fact, a lot of the things you may have written down are things you already do. There were things that I have done as a family that, like, when you infuse more excitement into it, now all of a sudden everybody else is excited, you know? And it's like, it's probably the same meal you've cooked a million times, but now you called it fall kickoff. And it's chili, but it's chili at fall kickoff. And so now we're all excited about it, right? So it's like how you frame it, how you bring intention into it and repeat it every year. And then how to know when to let it go. I think it's twofold. One, if it's just not serving your family anymore, if it's more of a, like, we're not called into slavery, right? Like, this is freedom. It's supposed to be enjoyment. Now, as a mom, some of the roles that I take on in this is like, there's some work on the front end, but it's like, so is shepherding our kids. So is discipleship, right? So there is some work in the preparation, but I think if it's like so draining or it's lost its value of meaning, like then maybe let it go, right? I have trouble letting traditions go, though. I'm like a tradition diehard, so.
That's what Rachel and I were just talking about, like Sabbath once a week.
Yes.
Like people don't think about the pre-Sabbath prep.
Yes.
Post-Sabbath, like when mom takes the day off.
Yeah.
To house
expense. Everything is different. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I will say my Sabbath, the biggest part for my Sabbath, we do Sabbath every Sunday, but a lot of it's around food. Like food Sabbath is big for us because we eat our best food on Sunday. And it's because it is sweet to hang out with the people of Jesus. And we have dessert on that day and we don't always have dessert. And so I would just say a tip is grill. Have other people do it.
I have a friend that on her Sabbath they order pizza and it's a special treat.
Heck yeah. That's fantastic.
They never get pizza, so they order pizza and it tastes awful.
Yeah, nobody has to do it.
Yeah.
It's great. I love that.